This is Brother Hansen from Truth Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to get right into our study in the book of Lamentations. Lamentations, and we're at chapter 4 now, if you'd like to follow along. Now, we're beginning this fourth chapter. It's a chapter. This chapter contrasts the situation before the siege of Jerusalem with the siege and the situation after the siege. The sights and the sounds of prosperity were gone because of the people's sin. This chapter warns us to assume that when life is going well, it will also stay that way. We must be careful not to glory in this prosperity that God gives us and fall into a spiritual bankruptcy. Very, very important that we realize this, because these people believe these false prophets. You cannot believe the false prophets forever. They will soon tell you a lie. They will soon speak out of their own mind and their own heart. And it'll come back just like a bad penny. And it'll haunt you for the rest of your life. These people will not tell the truth because they do not want to offend. And they do not want to jeopardize they're taking in money because of the offense that it offers a lot of times. Because, you know, if Jeremiah came in and spoke for 5 minutes in any church, he would probably be thrown out. You know, oh, what happened to our practicality? You know, practically Christ. You know, oh, you know, what happened? You know, we want to hear the good things. We don't want to hear that other stuff. And, you know, people do. They want to hear the bad. And not the bad, but they want to hear the good stuff that appears to be truth, but it's not. They want to have their ears tickled. And that's the problem of today, is the tickling of ears for the sole purpose of collecting funds in the name of Jesus Christ. And this goes on every day, day in, day out. And you have to pay these exorbitant false prophets and these preachers that demand $2 million, $3 million a year. Let's read. How dark is the gold? How dark the gold has become? How the pure gold has changed? The sacred stones are poured out at the corner of every street. The precious sons of Zion, weighed against fine gold, how they are regarded as earthen jars, the work of the potter's hands. Even jackals offer the breast. They nurse their young. Now, this is true. Listen to this. Even jackals, as, you know, we might think is one of the evil animals, or one of the most evil animals on the face of the earth, they offer the breast for their children and their young little ones. They nurse their young. But the daughter of my people has become cruel, like ostriches in the wilderness. The tongue of the infant cleaves to the roof of its mouth because of thirst. Can you imagine? First evil that comes in to a people is the abuse of children. That's the first thing you look for. When this comes, you know what's next, judgment. First, it's the abusive little children, and then you have the judgment of God coming in shortly after that. And the sad thing is, it comes in a hurry and in a rush, because God does not put up with child abuse. And he gets sick and tired of it. And all of a sudden, it gets to be a stench in his nostrils. And it gets to be something that he cannot tolerate any longer. And this is what happens, folks, when God gets good and sick of it. He gets very intolerant, and he all of a sudden he pours out his evil, not evil, but his judgment, and people think it's evil, but it's not. He allows the Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian empire to correct and chastise Israel. And people thought it was evil. It's not evil. God uses things to accomplish what his end result must be. The tongue of the infant cleaves to the roof of its mouth because of thirst. The little ones ask for bread, but no one breaks it for them. Those who ate delicacies are desolate in the streets. Those reared in purple embrace ash pits. For the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the sin of Sodom. Now, we've mentioned this before, and this is something that we all need to realize. The iniquity of Sodom is mentioned here. And Billy Graham said something very, very interesting. He says, if God doesn't come back and raise up, resurrect Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize, he'll have to bring judgment upon this nation as a result of its sin. Now, this is something, folks, that we don't realize and we don't want to think about. But it is true. It is true. God will have to resurrect Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize if he doesn't bring the proper judgment upon this people for destroying these little children that are in the womb. That is a fact. And we must realize this. For the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the sin of Sodom. And that is something that is realized here. Now, as we look at this fourth chapter, in verse 6, which was overthrown in a moment, greater than the sin of Sodom, which was overthrown as in a moment, and no hands were turned toward her. Her consecrated ones were purer than snow. They were whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than corals. Their polishing was like lapis lazuli. Their appearance is blacker than soot. They are not recognized in the streets. Their skin is shriveled on their bones. It is withered. It has become like wood. Better are those slain with a sword than those slain with hunger. For they pine away, being stricken for lack of fruits in the field. The hands of the compassionate women boiled their own children. They became food for them because of the destruction of the daughter of my people. The Lord has accomplished his wrath He has poured out his fierce anger, and he has kindled a fire in Zion, which has consumed its foundations. The kings of the earth did not believe, nor did any of the inhabitants of the world, that the adversary and the enemy could enter in the gates of Jerusalem. They couldn't believe it. And I'm telling you, we cannot believe it either. It's hard for us to believe that this could happen because of the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests who have shed in her midst the blood of the righteous. They wandered blind in the streets. They were defiled with blood, so that no one could touch their garments. Depart, unclean, they cried of themselves. Depart, depart, do not touch. So they fled and wandered. Men among the nations said, they shall not continue to dwell with us. The presence of the Lord has scattered them. He will not continue to regard them. They did not honor the priests. They did not favor the elders. Yet our eyes failed. Looking for help was useless. In our watching, we have watched for a nation that could not save. They hunted our steps so that we could not walk in our streets. Our end drew near. Our days were finished. For our end had come. Our pursuers were swift. They were swifter than us. They were swifter than eagles of the sky. They chased us on the mountains. You know, they it gives you a good description of what happened. When the city was under siege, the city wall, built for protection, sealed the people inside. They couldn't get out to the fields to get food and water because the enemy was camped around the city. As food in the city ran out, the people watched, they watched their enemies harvest and eat the food in the fields. The siege was a test of wills to see which army could outlast the other. Jerusalem was under siege for 2 years. Life became so harsh that people even ate their own children. And dead bodies were left to rot in the streets. All hope was gone. This was a horrible sight. Sodom destroyed by brimstone and fire from heaven because of its wickedness. And that's in Genesis 18 and verse 20 and 19 verse 29. They became a symbol of God's ultimate judgment. Yet the sin of Jerusalem was even greater than that of Sodom. It was far greater. Do you realize this? It was far greater. And than that of Sodom. And in verse 13, because of the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests who have shed in the midst the blood of the righteous. To be defiled and unclean, it meant that to be unfit to enter the temple or to worship before God, the priests and the prophets, they should have been the most careful. to maintain ceremonial purity so that they could continue to perform their duties before God. But many priests and prophets did evil and were defiled as the nation's leaders. Their examples led the people into sin and caused the ultimate downfall of the nation and the capital city, Jerusalem. Judah asked Egypt to help them fight the Babylonians' army. Egypt gave Judah false hope. They started to help, but then they treated Jeremiah so horribly after he warned them. Jeremiah warned Judah not to ally with Egypt. He told the leaders to rely on God, but they refused to. They refused to listen, and they did not hear the true prophet of God. They wanted to listen to those false prophets that were saying, oh, everything's all right, everything's going to be okay, just hide and watch, everything's okay, just keep on going, keep on trucking. They waited in ambush for us in the wilderness. The breath of our nostril, the Lord's anointed, was captured in their pits, of whom we had said, under his shadow we shall live among the nations. Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, who dwells in the land of Uz. But the cup will come around to you as well. You will become drunk and make yourself naked. The punishment of your iniquity has been completed, O daughter of Zion. He will exile you no longer, but he will punish your iniquity, O daughter of Edom. He will expose your sins. And that's exactly what happened. Well, I'm going to stop there. We'll finish this book tomorrow, and we'll go on to something else. It's a good book, but I hope you enjoy it. Now, go to our website, krciradio.com, and write to us, KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, Brother Hanson saying, study, show yourself approved to God.